changing Allah's decree in respect to creation.
Alhamdulillah, Khaliq al-Khalq, Basit al-Rizq, Faliq al-Asbah, Dil Jalal wal-Ikram, Wal-Fadl wal-In'am, Alladhi ba'uda fala yura, Wa qaruba fashahida an-Najwa.
In Arabic, there is a term called Bada, and it can be actually translated into change in Almighty Allah's decree. But Bada is the change in the course of events in the universe and history in accordance with the will of the Almighty Allah. So the course of events might change throughout the history and in the universe, but they are all in accordance with the irada of the Almighty Allah. How many times a man has been on the edge of falling if the law of causation were to be operative in the lives of the people, but the will of the Almighty Allah intervened in the appropriate moment and rescued that man from falling, and contrary to the course required by the law of causation. So we all know, and we may have seen, all of us, throughout our entire lives, such instances. Nonetheless, this does not imply the suspension or nullification of the law of causality. Rather, the will and irada of the Almighty Allah overrides the law of causality, but as we explained previously, it reigns over it by the law of causality itself. This override, and somehow this overlap, and the implication it involves, lie against the understanding of the people and their perception of the chain of causes and effects. Now, this divine overruling of the law of causality, which takes the people by surprise and makes them err in their calculations, is what is known as Bada. And in this regard, we've got so many narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala bas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
As I just shortly mentioned, when bada happens, there occurs a kind of unexpected change in the universe, a kind of unexpected or maybe unprecedented change in history and society. But since this change is constant, these instances that we have all seen in our lives. It might be unprecedented for us, but not for all the others. So, those whom people did not expect to triumph would become triumphant, and those whom they could not think of being defeated would get defeated. The oppressed would come to power, and the kings would be humiliated, as the 249th verse of chapter Baqarah suggests. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. How many a small party has overcome a larger party by Almighty Allah's will. وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah is with the patient. Now that you have come to understanding of this concept, we can move further on and claim that this Bada, as we explained, is the very phenomenon of obliteration and affirmation, mahw wa ithbat, which both have appeared in the Holy Quran. We will, inshallah, talk about this more in the next program. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is from India,
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 7th, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. February 10th marks the 42nd anniversary of Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. This victory ended a generation of U.S.-installed tyranny that deprived Iranians of their fundamental rights. Iran regained control over its sovereign independence and natural resources, and the U.S. no longer able to plunder them. For Iran and its people, there is no turning back to control by a repressive foreign power and its installed puppet regime. The victory of the Islamic Revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. The Islamic Revolution was undoubtedly the most important event in the contemporary world and the 20th century. The victory of the Islamic Revolution has had deep impact on different aspects of the Iranian people's life. This revolution enjoys characteristics and principles that have their roots in Islam. Characteristics like self-sacrifice, justice, and a struggle against oppression. So, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution to all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. However, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until the disease is controlled around the world. Then we in IRIB English Radio can get back on track and send you the souvenirs of our radio and also QSL cards. And here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Toshio Shibata from Japan, Konstantin Lozgin from Russia, and Rafiqul Islam from Bangladesh. Toshio, Konstantin, and Rafiqul Islam, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters. Most of them are actually congratulation message on the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters. Here we have an email from Hey Mercia from the Philippines, one of our regular listeners. Also, we have an email from Toshio Shibata from Japan. Mr. Jayant Chakrabarty from India has also sent us an email. From Italy, we have an email from Pastorino Gianni. And from Tausif Abbas from Pakistan has also sent us an email. Thanks a lot, dear listeners. After a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Welcome back. First of all, we have an email from Hey Mercia from the Philippines. Hey Mercia is, as I said, is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB, I would like to congratulate a happy 42nd anniversary of 1979 revolution. I would say that the revolution was a prelude of something big to happen for the next decades. I'm so glad that Iran, after 1979 revolution, no longer suffered from the U.S. imperialism and a corrupt regime. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Hey Mercia, from the Philippines, and thank you very much for writing this congratulation message to IRIB English Radio. Yes, in 1979, after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iranians got rid of U.S. imperialism and any dependency, and the victory of this revolution became the source of inspiration for all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people and countries around the world. So, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution to all freedom-seeking and justice-seeking people around the world. Thank you again, Hey Mercia, from the Philippines. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. Also, from Japan, we have an email from Toshio Shibata. Toshio Shibata says, "Hello, dear friends at IRIB English Radio. I would like to send you a report on the reception of medium wave broadcast here in Tokyo, Japan. Could you please check the report and the recording and let me know if it was IRIB broadcast? Best regards and take care. Salam and greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan, and lots of gratitude for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. It seems to me that you've already joined IRIB English Radio listeners. Welcome. Yes, we received the report and the recording, and so please accept our deepest thanks for them. Toshio Shibata from Japan, please tell us which programs you like the best. Tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Thanks again. Toshio Shibata from Japan. Dear friends, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a congratulation message on the victory of 1979 revolution, Islamic Revolution of Iran. And this is such a long letter, actually email. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India says, "The 1979 revolution has been a watershed event, not only for the proud and heroic Iranian people, but also a glorious chapter in the annals of world history. The Iranians had showed the world that a determination can take on the mightiest forces of imperialism and exploitation for consolidating its national interest and honor. The opportunist West has always been after Iran's rich oil resources, so they had supported a puppet autocratic monarchy of Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi to serve their nefarious goals. However, the alert Iranians, led by their charismatic leader, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, with popular support from the students, men and women, thwarted these evil designs and fought successfully for safeguarding national sovereignty and independence. This dramatic event of 1979 shook the world and ushered the birth of the Islamic Republic, voted by a national referendum. After passing through 42 years of glorious achievements in different vital sectors, Iran has taken its rightful place in the Committee of Nations. It is a strong nation and has a strong voice to be heard by the rest of the world. However, as Iranians celebrate this happy occasion, they should not be complacent. Danger still lurks from many quarters to destabilize and derail the fruits of development achieved since the advent of the revolution. Economic sanctions have been imposed to impede the country's development. However, The world today respects a strong Iran that is fully capable to defend itself from any external aggression. The revolution has paved the way for pragmatic and progressive ideas leading to a profound change in the life of its citizens. The revolution of 1979 has taught the Iranians to support and defend the oppressive people of the world and to uphold and promote international law of peace and justice. Salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarti from India. And please accept our warmest and deepest thanks for writing such a thoughtful and great email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979 ended a generation of U.S.-installed tyranny that deprived Iranians of their fundamental rights. Iran regained control over its sovereign independence and natural resources. The U.S. no longer able to plunder them. For Iran and its people, there is no turning back to control by a repressive foreign power and its installed puppet regime. Iranian sovereign independence threatens U.S. imperial interests by encouraging and inspiring other nations under its yoke to break free. Jayanta Chakrabarti from India, again, thank you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, and congratulations on the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran to all justice-seeking and freedom-seeking people around the world. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters and congratulation messages from around the world. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. From Pakistan, we have an email from Tausif Abbas. Tausif Abbas says, greetings and congratulations on the occasion of the 42nd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran to you all. What impresses me about your revolution is that how one individual changed the whole dynamics of the West Asia region and the world in general. How selflessness of the leader can achieve such a success and can result in ousting of dictators and oppressors. The outstanding features of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, in my opinion, were selflessness, the vision, the spirituality, the humbleness to others, kindness, and many other virtues. Salam, Tausif Abbas from Pakistan, and warm thanks to you for writing such a thoughtful message to IRIB English Radio. And again, congratulations on the 42nd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution to all justice and freedom-seeking people from around the world. Thank you again for writing this congratulation message to IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon. Tausif Abbas from Pakistan. Also from Italy, we have an email from Plus Torino. Gianni from Italy. Pastorino Gianni from Italy says, greetings from Andorra, Italy. I'm receiving with great pleasure your program. I would be happy to receive your QSL card. Thank you in advance and best regards. Salam and ciao, Pastorino Gianni from Italy. And I do express my appreciation to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We are glad that you're satisfied with IRB English Radio broadcast. As you said, you're receiving it with pleasure. We're so committed, we in IRB English Radio, we are so committed to our role in providing the best quality of programs and broadcasts to our dear listeners around the world. Thank you again, Pastorino Gianni from Italy, for writing this email to IRB English Radio. Write to us soon. Dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the next part of our program, that is today's interview, which is conducted with one of our dear listeners. Stay tuned.
Well, my name is Christopher Lewis. I live in the United Kingdom, in the West Midlands in England. My hobbies include, of course, shortwave listening and listening to other broadcasts from different parts of the world. I also enjoy reading and growing vegetables, gardening, all these different hobbies. And I have to say that shortwave listening is probably my best out of all of these. But in general, I've been reading about the Islamic Revolution quite in depth over the past couple of years. I'm still absorbing lots of information about it. And I'd just like to read some of my personal impressions that I've gathered from reading various sources on the internet and also from books. Basically, the revolution created high moral values in Iranian society. It created a sense of self-respect, and it's also an example to other nations of how society can live together peacefully. The revolution also represented the Iranian ideals and brought them forward. It was also a protest against ancient imperialistic influences as well. And going further on, it also created and brought forward Iran's freedom from oppressive regimes. And it also is an inspiration to a lot of people around the world who are repressed. It also shows the world and proves to the world that Iran, of course, is not dependent on any other nations for its survival. And Imam Khomeini brought into reality all that the Iranian people had hoped for. It's created Iran as a well-functioning nation, and has also enabled the founding of good relations with many nations around the world who value the same high moral standards. And I think that it's most important that we create sound understanding of each other's cultures, and also improve education about culture, expanding any myths and misunderstanding that can be created by the most part by mass media. Well, I think from my point of view, and people of similar thinking, that the Iranian revolution has proved that you don't have to be bossed around by any other organization, you don't have to be told how to live. It's sort of like a shining beacon to peoples, you know, around the world, not just in Europe, but in other countries of the world. It's proved that it's a strong power, and it's a sovereign nation. It's just very, very encouraging.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook, Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Allah ya Allah subhanallah. Allah ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allah wa la ilaha illa
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, on ethics and politics. Those who seek to train and educate others should themselves be purified. They should be purged if they are to rule human beings in order to remain immune from rebellions and satanic deeds. They have to purge themselves. The commands of the Prophet is to serve this purpose. Everybody should purge themselves. This task is more vital and important for officials, rulers, presidents, and leaders than it is for ordinary people. June 2, 1981.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We were talking about the relationship between the religion and politics in viewpoints of Imam Khomeini and how Imam Khomeini thinks about the politics and religion. In the previous episodes, we tried to elaborate, we tried to talk about the occultation of Imam Mahdi and the Islamic State at his time of occultation in the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. The main thing that make Imam Khomeini different from other scholars, we can say in the field of politics, was that the others used to think that, for example, the Western world is advancing and the Muslims are the ones who have never advanced. Where Imam Khomeini came with the viewpoint and he said that it is not the Western world who has advanced. The person who advances is the one who knows from where he came, where he is, and where he will go. Basically, if you know that you have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are living in this world for the hereafter, and this is a farm where you need to fertilize, where you need to work hard, where you need to obviously struggle. For what? For the hereafter. And if you know that after this world, there is a day of judgment, you're accountable for all your actions that you perform in this world, then you will live a fruitful life, a useful life, a life in which everyone is benefiting from you. And therefore, when we talk about the Islam and politics, the Islam and the politics, or the religion and the politics, is the same in the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. Being a religious person, he worked perfectly in the field of politics as well, so that he could have this revolution, the revolution that we know as an Islamic revolution, not a Shi'i revolution, not a Sunni revolution. It's an Islamic revolution. And that's what we can see from the Imam Khomeini.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World and Still Is. Of course, this program is nothing more than about the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul. In all the previous programs that we've spoken about and discussed so far, we've discussed the fact that, you know, many revolutions, many ideologies, and many great momentous events in history have claims, but very few of them live up to the expectation that they are meant to mean to the people. Today's session, we're going to look more closely on the slogan that started the revolution here in Iran, particularly, but because it's an Islamic revolution, it was meant for the entire Muslim Ummah. And I repeat that, the entire Muslim Ummah, because Iran, the Islamic revolution may geographically be confined to Iran, but it was meant for the entire Muslim world and beyond. And that's what we're really discussing here, that how big an impact Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, really made in terms of fact that we have now a very changing world. Once again, I'm joined by Dr. Hassani, an academic, an Islamic researcher, and a very warm welcome to you, sir, for this particular session of this program once
again.
Thank
you, sir.
Thank you. Dr. Hassani, we're at the point now where we've looked at these aspects about Imam Khomeini in terms of his life, in terms of his biography. We've looked at aspects of this multidimensional personality. And as you quite rightly said, we're not going to say it all in one breath because that's not possible. And at the same time, that wouldn't do justice to such a great personality because you talked of him, I remember in one of our previous programs, that he's a mountain. How do you describe a mountain? Anyway, I'm sure you'll be able to do that for us anyway, Dr. Hassani. But the main thing is, the slogan starts with Allahu Akbar, and you very nicely put that in a context where we can all understand that, of one and zero. Not as a binary code, as most people understand in maths, but the fact that we are the created, we are zero and don't exist without the one. And in that context, Imam Khomeini himself, such a humble man, would not say anything different. He wanted to get to his beloved. But there are two important concepts that are coming out of this particular revolution, as you quite rightly put it in the previous program. And it's not a claim, this is a reality. First of all, Allah is Akbar, God is great, that's a reality. And then they said Khomeini Rahbar, that meant that Khomeini is the leader. What went wrong in the last few centuries where only now we've come to an understanding that without the leader, we're not going to get anywhere, are we?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Good subject. Very important. Again, answer in one word. Use the word Ummah.
Yeah.
Ummah.
What it means in Arabic?
We can write a book about it.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
Let me explain it.
Please.
Ummah, one nation under God, in a true sense.
Oh, America claims that. They say they are one nation
well,
under God.
Well, that's a different story. To be an Ummah,
yeah.
The word Umm in Arabic, yeah. Which means mother,
mm.
It is said Umm for mother in Arabic,
right.
Because the child intends his mother. The intention has to be there.
Ah.
Ummah, one nation, knowingly, purposely, trying to go under the banner of one God.
One God, yes.
This is one way.
Sure.
Again, about that zero, let me explain it again in a different way. I would like to give you examples,
sure,
materialistic
please.
Example.
Sure,
this
sure.
is one way in yeah, order
so
to understand.
Let's
in
a
order
feeling
to understand
of what we
this spiritual thing,
yeah.
The deep ma'rifah, knowledge of, you know, by the way, the whole universe is full of so many different phenomena.
Mm.
We're not claiming we understand all of them, but we can try.
Sure.
To tell you what that how that zero in reality is, and how that particular one works, which makes the slogan of Allahu Akbar.
Mm.
I give you an example. For a second, for the sake of argument, okay? You don't even have to close your eyes.
Mm.
You can just purposely think about making or building something in your imagination. Let's say a bike.
Right.
Bicycle.
Right. I've got a picture of a bike in my mind.
So you have it?
I've got it.
Who created it? You.
I did. Yeah.
So in the course of our discourse with each other,
forget
about it. For a second.
Okay.
That bike. Where is it?
It's gone.
In your imagination. It's gone.
Gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. It's into my subconscious.
That's the zero I'm talking about. If it wasn't for God's mercy and will and power and wanting to give life to us, to that particular zero. For one
moment,
less than moment, this
right.
is for, you know, when you're talking about this is because all we are familiar with this kind of understanding.
Sure.
For one small fraction of a second, an imaginary, you know, moment, which could be very, 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 in the blink of an eye.
Sure.
If God takes his intention, which is merciful, which is mercy upon us,
of course
for
is.
One second, if he takes that intention away,
we
would end up to be nothing. That's the zero I was talking about. So in order to explain this, that whatever we say, we have to mean it. We have to understand it as much as we could.
Sure.
The word Ummah is of this kind of significance.
My
now
goodness.
Back to your question.
My goodness.
What happened to what happened to Muslims? We can't say what happened to Islamic
no,
Ummah.
No, we're not talking about Islamic Ummah.
Brother, Ummah is something to become. It's not a giving thing.
That's right. And that's what we're trying to get to,
and
isn't
this
it?
This is the reason. Mm. This is the reason for saying Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, was and still is a leader in order to lead us to that particular intended, serious business.
Well, let me
to become one nation.
Well, let me just throw something into this argument. Because Imam Khomeini, I remember, may God bless his great soul, said that the problem at this moment in time with the Muslim world is this, that you do not lead yourselves to the Quran, but you take the Quran to yourselves.
Mm-hmm. In other words, whatever you like,
whatever you like, desire, you try
you
to
wish,
justify.
You try to find a passage in Quran,
to justify
and apply to yourself.
Now, let me take that just a little step further. Wasn't that the sin that Bani Israel was guilty of, in which they lost all connection with God whatsoever?
In general term, the answer is yes. But there is so many different details attached to it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go astray, you know, Satan won't let you go.
No, he doesn't.
You know what? Some people think Satan, wants to take your beliefs away, which is true.
Yeah.
He wants to take your religion, your beliefs away.
Yeah, he wants to do
but
it.
That, but that's not the end of it.
No.
This is where research, studying, deep understanding helps you, help us to understand. Mm. You can be a kafir. You can be an infidel, but you could still have some kind of dignity left in you by doing a good virtue. By how you're dealing with people, with your own people to begin with.
Yes, but you're talking about absolute humiliation and abasement.
Exactly. You know, when Satan takes the religion away from you, your beliefs.
That's only one part.
This is only one part.
Part of it.
Okay? But he won't let go. That's not good enough for him because he swear by God. Mm. He swear by God that I'm going to take him all the way to the hellfire.
So he's going to abase him.
Okay? Mm. So the disgrace will follow. The disgrace this is this.
Yeah.
You're not only without any beliefs, which gets you to the point of being zero again, but he wants you to be disgraced totally.
In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In the sight of Allah. Then in the sight of humanity.
Yeah. And the sight of humanity as well, yes.
No, we have to be very careful to study this thing.
Sure.
Again, research is to study something, a phenomenon or something, very, very carefully. Mm. That makes it
in order to draw proper conclusions.
It's not just to look for something.
No, no.
You have to research. You have to get back to the point again.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, when you do that research, it's just a stepping stone to a wider body of knowledge.
And I mean, it's only a tool.
Yeah, it's only a tool. We're not talking about something that ends
Let's not
there.
Get carried, you know, away with it. To say, oh, okay, I'm a researcher.
Yeah.
So what?
So what?
Where
do we go from here?
Yeah. All we have to try to, you know, find the right path, which is a straight path, and stay on it. Mm. You can be on the right path, but again, devil is not going to go anywhere because it's swear by the power of God Almighty that I'm going to take every single of this so-called creature of yours, except for those that I cannot mess with.
Dr. Hassani, you take us to a very, very important point in this discussion, a very significant point in this discussion. You know, in every revolution, there's a kind of demon, if you like.
And we've seen so many of them.
Yeah, there's a kind of hate figures in revolutions. I mean, if you take the 1789 French Revolution, the aristocracy were the demons of that revolution.
And the guillotines.
And the guillotine, you know, cutting their heads off
cutting
or whatever.
Cutting heads off and so on and so forth.
And even Robespierre of the 1789 revolution in France made the claim that terror, state terror, was a tool and a valid means by which to destroy the enemies of the new republic.
And by the way, the terror back then had a different definition.
Exactly.
There wasn't no good terrorists, bad terrorists. Like
so I'm not drawing any parallels with the French Revolution. But what I'm saying here is that what...
But the idea, the concept was this, Brother John, really to terrorize you in a true sense.
Yeah.
To scare you away from what your goal might be.
But exactly, exactly.
And not necessarily by physically assassinate you.
Yeah.
So we have to be, you know, very careful about this stuff.
That's
because
right.
Nowadays, the word terror, terrorist, is used in a broad way. And so, selective one. As far as the dirty politician concerned.
What I'm saying is that this was a materialistic revolution.
Okay.
1789, this liberty, egality, fraternity.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah, give me brotherhood, give me liberty, give me equality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was the three slogans of the French Revolution. The reality is something entirely different, but that was in a materialistic sense. I'm trying to just draw parallels with the fact that, you know, in a context where Europe was talking about enlightenment, We're talking about something here far more significant than that. We're talking about a reality for which even the French Republic is far and miles away from, and still hasn't understood this concept yet about what the true reality and nature of man is. They've had these wonderful slogans of egality, of equality, liberty, and brotherhood and fraternity, but Islam is a way ahead of all that.
Way ahead.
Now, what I'm seeing here is that there is this claim, like every revolution, it has its demons, and as you say, you know, it has its enemies. But Imam Khomeini didn't hate anyone. He didn't say things out of just simply trying to justify that the Iranian masses would all cling to this particular slogan because he just felt that was the right thing to say for the moment. When you are saying that the United States of America is the great Satan, he means it in the context of what you've just said, that it's not enough for us just to abandon Islam. It's not enough for us to forget about Tawheed. It's not enough for us to become, as you say, unbelievers. They want to really humiliate this country so that people forget about it wherever it is on the map. They think Iran is some petrol station in Dallas somewhere.
So many different things, you know, and I have to touch as many as I can.
Yeah.
You know the reason for that humiliation? Mm. Lifestyle.
Yeah, of course it is.
Look at about the Western lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, they take our beliefs away.
Mm.
They won't let go.
No.
The disgrace part comes here.
Yeah.
Homosexuality.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, how low can you get?
Exactly. But as you say, it'll
go further.
You know
the story about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And the story goes on.
And on.
I'm trying to be so precise about this.
That's right. Because we're going back to the Quran.
Because we're going back to the Quran again.
Quran again.
And we have to cover so many different issues.
Issues, yes. Because what I'm saying is that Imam...
The other statement I should add in this particular one, because you mentioned the word claim again, and you draw a good parallel between different revolutions, my answer to you is this. Words have to be matched with
action.
Again, another expression, which makes sense, which is true.
Mm.
Practice what you
preach. And Imam Khomeini lived up to that.
And this is where the church went wrong too. I mean, this is all long story.
Of course it is.
But in order to understand, remember the one of the introduction I gave you, and it was kind of lengthy, you know, and it seems like at the time it was getting boring or whatever. But the thing is this: we have no other way around it except to analyze all this stuff.
Yes.
And constantly come back to it.
Yes.
This is very important.
Yeah, and broaden the
and
model.
Don't forget about
it. Yeah. It has to be comprehensive.
Has to be. Okay? So the difference between all the revolutions, the materialistic, okay, the worldly revolution, with this particular one, which we say, proudly we say, the Islamic revolution.
Yes.
Which happened in Iran 30-some years ago. Still is going on.
Yes.
Do you hear anything about French Revolution?
No,
it was
we don't.
So good.
I mean,
why you don't hear about it?
Yeah, because
and I'm not here to answer all these questions.
No, no.
All if I succeed in doing one thing on this program, you know, God willing, that's more than I can handle.
Sure.
And that thing is this: to bring to your attention the kind of question, the kind of path that you should take in order to study different cases.
Exactly.
And this is why humanity still has a lot to work on.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about the propaganda machine,
constantly
bombarding
with
mere lies,
lies and hypocrisy,
lies, insulting, followed with insulting, threatening,
bullying,
wasting sources.
Yes,
who's going to be responsible for this?
That's right.
Who's going to answer it? Nobody. All those empty claims. Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, they're going to say, you know, the other side of the defense, the grass is greener. I mean, this is a promise.
Yeah.
But is it really? Is it greener?
Mm. Well, that's up to debate, isn't it? I mean,
this is all in the shape of questions.
Yeah, because as you say, that's the proof in the pudding is in the eating. So that's exactly it.
I give you another example. The criteria in order to do the system of check and balance. You know where you go wrong? Contradiction. 2 plus 2 is 4.
4.
It's four for you, or it's four for me, or it's four for both of us.
Mm. That's the reality.
2 + 2 is 4 on Saturday. How about Friday?
It'll be 4 on Friday.
Four on Friday.
But they want to make you believe that it's 5.
You believe it's five on a Friday. That African lives differently
than
European
and
Asian
and
Latin America
and
U.S.
Yes.
And Mexico, for that matter.
Yeah.
And we live this. We cannot betray ourselves in order to think differently, because we want to think differently. This is very important also.
Sure.
Contradiction. Anytime 2 + 2 is not 4, something's wrong. Something, as they say in the state, something seriously wrong.
Right. Let me throw something else at you, because, of course, I mean, you're old enough to remember this. And, you know, there was the Cuban Revolution. That was the way back in the 60s. There was also a revolution in Nicaragua around about the same time.
Sandinistas.
Yeah, the Sandinistas. Back in 79.
The timing was the same.
So it was the same. But we have to ask the question, what makes the difference between, say, the Sandinista revolution, which was based on a Marxist ideology or something similar to that, and the divine revolution? Because the divine revolution is something that Imam Khomeini impressed a great deal on the rest of the world, which is why we are still living it. We are still in the process of this, because, as you say, whatever has happened in the Muslim world in the past, well, that's the past. But we are trying to get to the Islamic goal, which is from the Quran. And that is about purification and perfection. And what this slogan is saying, Allahu Akbar, in the beginning, is that without the spiritual dimension, there's no success for mankind.
Very good question. Very good question. And I'm trying very hard to explain it the best way I can.
Yeah, but do your best.
I want to give it a shot.
Sure.
First of all, divine task, divine mission requires divine understanding. Let me talk about narration.
Yes.
From the Impeccables.
Yes, from the Infallibles, yes. The Infallible Imams.
Something to the fact that the price, listen to this word. And again, the word means a lot of things. If you understand what it means, then it takes you to where you're supposed to.
Sure.
The price of your body is heaven.
Mm. The price of your body is heaven.
The price of your body, the way you live,
is
materialistically
heaven. Is heaven. Sure.
Hell is not made for you.
No.
You're human, for God's sake.
Mm.
Again, goes back to the definition.
Yeah.
God willing, I have to get to this Quranic reference on due time.
Sure.
Okay? The price of your body is heaven, but the price of your soul is only God. Think about what I said.
Exactly.
And the Impeccable says
that's
this.
Right. That's right.
So that makes it what? That makes it more interesting, yet more difficult.
Mm.
In order to value yourself, this is important.
Mm.
This is where humanity go wrong.
Yeah.
You remember?
Mm.
Satan wants to take you to the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
To a dark alley of disbelief.
And abasement.
Then disgrace you.
Disgrace you.
The disgrace part is this, that you lose your soul.
Soul.
Brother, if you own something in this materialistic world, let's say you cannot pay your mortgage on your house. I like to give you this example.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the way of Quranic teaching and understanding. Any occasion wants to tell to teach you something very important, give you examples. And the definition, for example, is this: to show you something feelable, sensible, with all these five senses, in order to think to take you to a different level.
Sure.
This is the definition of mathal, examples. I give you examples. If you behind you paying your mortgage, what a bank will do, and they're good at it. They're doing it in U.S., they're doing it in U.K.
Right.
I'm sure they're going to be doing it in Scotland.
Sure.
Okay?
Well, it's happening already.
What they do? If you're behind paying your car payment, they take it away.
Well, first of all, there's a warning, and then you're thrown out.
The final act.
They're
going to take it away.
Yeah.
But with God, it doesn't work like that.
Mm.
See? When talking about references, you talk about the reality. You're talking about the greatness of a unique, I should say. When you say fetra, fetra, the mere translation, you know, to give it to you in a nutshell, the fetra is a particular, unique creation. The Torah suggests that. Those who are familiar with the word fetra,
yes,
that Torah, at the end, it suggests that this is a unique one. This is not the Torah of, you know, in Arabic, we have